Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thank you so much for being a part of our online community here at Calendar Bay Church. We really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule in order to be able to be with us here today. Well, it is these crazy, unprecedented days of COVID-19 that we're in the midst of. And just want to give you a bit of an update of things that are going on. Most of you are aware of the fact that the government had given us permission to be able to meet at a 30% capacity basis with a number of advisory restrictions placed upon it. The church board got together to discuss it, and we felt that we couldn't adequately accomplish the purposes of the service with these restrictions placed upon it. And so we've decided to continue with the online service, but we are looking at other opportunities to be able to start to slowly reopen the doors here at Calendar Bay Church. And I'm going to tell you more about that in just a second. So we are going to continue with the online services. The board is going to evaluate it basically on a day-by-day basis as the government has been changing its position and as Ontario continues to move further into phase two of the reopening of Ontario. Things could change even more. And so we're keeping an eye on those things. And we feel that the service here will adequately accomplish the purposes of the service that we will reopen the church. But for now, we're just going to continue to do the online service. One thing that is going to be presently moving ahead is high power soccer. Patricia and Wilma are getting things together. And if you're interested in being involved with, we know that there are still a fair amount of concerns in people's lives. And if you're interested, just contact Patricia or Wilma, and they would love to be able to connect with you and find out kind of what's going on and how things are going. We have tentatively booked the community center at the Calendar Community Center. And so hopefully this will all be able to come together. August 17 to 21 is the date that we're looking at. And be watching on Facebook and the Daily Encouragement for more information about that. One of the ways that we're going to try reopening the church is through our prayer meeting. Monday nights has been the time that we've been setting aside for a congregational prayer meeting. And so we're going to open that up and socially distance downstairs, plastic chairs, easy to clean. And we're going to set up and going on Monday nights. Now, the important thing is that if you are interested in coming to that, you need to either contact me through Facebook, email, or by phone, and to pre-register your coming, because we need to keep documentation of all these things and to make sure that we're staying within the 30%. Now, I don't think that's going to be an issue, but still you need to pre-register if you would like to come to the prayer meeting. First one's going to be taking place this Monday night. And so if you could let me know, because if there isn't any interest, we'll probably just stay with our conference call prayer meeting that we've been doing. Thank you so much for everyone for your gifts to Calendar Bay Church. We have been as pleased as can be as a leadership team of the generosity of people within the church that we've been able to meet our expenses and stay on track financially. And so we thank you so much for your ongoing support and faithfulness and our faithful giving to Calendar Bay Church. But if you would like to give to Calendar Bay Church, a couple ways that you can do that. Number one is through our online giving. All you have to do is go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. Go to the About tab, and there'll be a little line that says ways that you can give. Click on that, and you can get that all set up. The other way that you can do that is by mailing your gift to the church, and you can mail that to Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. That address again is Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, thank you so much for your generosity and your continued support of Calendar Bay Church. We've been offering a number of different ways to stay connected during this time. And so we have our Facebook group, which you can interact there, and also through our daily encouragement. And I'm looking for your help in your ideas on the daily encouragement and on the Facebook group. If you've got a favorite worship song that you'd like, send it to me. I'd love to be able to reshare it. Same with scripture verses, devotions, anything that you find that you think would be a helpful resource, send it to me, and we will get those things onto our Facebook page and also onto our daily encouragement. And so these are great ways that you can stay connected during this time. You can also send prayer requests. All you have to do is send those to prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca, and we will send out your prayer requests to the people of our church. Next week, we're going to be celebrating communion together. And so if you are planning to be a part of our service next week, just take a moment, have some juice and bread ready, and then we'll be able to share communion together. Well, there's a number of online resources that we have on our webpage as well. There is our small group curriculum, our Discovery Bible lesson for kids. There is other resources that are available. You can get caught up on sermons that you may have missed. There's the link to the playlist that we have offer for different worship songs to kind of extend the worship time. And so all those things are available on our website. And so check out all the different online resources that are available at calendarbaychurch.ca. Well, we want to worship the Lord this morning and exalt His name. And this is such a great song of worship. Christ alone, our cornerstone. Let's sing it together.
Bye. to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord above. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior.
Christ alone, the cornerstone, the one who we can build our lives upon. And that's kind of where we're going to be going over the summer months as we take a look into God's Word. You know, one of the things that, well, most of us are aware of this, or at least I think we are, is that life is really complicated. And it seems to be getting more complicated by the day. Now, I remember I just celebrated my 30th anniversary in ministry, and thank you to the church for their generosity and giving us a gift. But as I reflect on the 30 years when I started in 1990 and where we are today in 2020, the fact that I'm even doing this is an amazing difference. The internet didn't even exist. You know, if you were doing the cameras that we had with the big tapes, you know, that we had back in the day, it is amazing that we have this technology and we can do it with relative ease. Now, I'm saying that, but it's not easy for me. Tyler's the one that's the brains behind the whole deal of getting everything online. But it is very different, and even ministry and how we do things. When I started ministry 30 years ago, prevention plans really didn't exist. Technology was minimal, whereas today, you know, computer, TVs, cameras, all these different things have made ministry very, very different than it was 30 years ago. And that's just really the tip of the iceberg as far as life goes. You know, I remember when I was a kid, life was pretty simple. You know, I went outside and I played. Whereas now there's activities all over the place. Life is very different. Life is very complicated. You know, and there are issues nowadays that are affecting the church that make it even more complicated. Issues surrounding social justice, white privilege, all these different issues are having a deep impact on the church. Intolerance is another big issue. Morality issues are taking the forefront as moral issues shift and change and become far more fluid. Even the COVID-19 pandemic that we're in the midst of and how that has affected the church is really a big issue. Many of churches have realized that our ministries have been very building-centric, and now when the building is not available, how do we shift and change in the midst of that? And so these are some of the complicating issues that the church is confronting. Also, hemorrhaging faith is a study that was put together by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada talking about young people leaving the church and how they are leaving in numbers like never ever before. And this is having a major impact on the church, and how does the church navigate through this? One of the other things that is a major change, and this is going to be one that is going to affect us for the next 10 to 15 years, is that a large portion of those that serve in traditional pastor roles, like myself, are going to be retiring. And so, and there is not the numbers of coming into the ranks that are going to be needed in order to be able to replace those that are leaving. Now, and I can vouch for this because I'm turning 56 this year. I'm about 9 years away from what would be officially retirement. And so, boy, I'm old. I don't feel that old. Anyway, whatever the case is, that is having a major effect on the church. Consumer Christianity is having a major deal. People go to churches because of the services that they offer more than how they can serve the church. And how does that affect? How do we live within a consumer culture and the effects that that has on the church? Technology and faith is a big deal. You know, we're in the midst of a technological revolution as far as church ministry goes. And during this pandemic, churches have realized that online ministry is a very significant part of the job. How is that going to change us and affect us into the future? The fact that so many people are offended about things, hashtag offended, is a big deal. And so offense is something that is happening all over the place. And how does that affect our lives and our culture? And so these are issues that as the church and as people of faith, we have to learn to navigate these in these crazy, stormy weather that is life, that is complicated and crazy. How do we navigate these issues in faith? And so I've called this series of messages Helping You Navigate Life. And so basically what I want to do is talk about some issues that are affecting society today and how do we navigate these issues in the midst of all the cultural changes and shifts that are taking place. And this has been our catchphrase or our motto of the church since pretty well the beginning. I remember when we started the church, and many of you have heard this story, I was sitting in my office and I was kind of feeling frustrated, and somebody drove into the parking lot. I thought, oh, I wonder who's coming in. You know, maybe I was just lonely. I needed somebody to talk to. But I looked out, and basically they just did a U-turn and then pulled back out of the parking lot. Something that you need to know if you didn't know this is that Calendar Bay Church is the U-turn capital of Calendar. We probably have 3 to 5 people every single day drive in the parking lot. You can actually, if you go outside, you can actually see the tracks of where people do U-turns here in the parking lot. And so as I saw this person pull in and instead of stopping, just turn around and leave again, I thought to myself, is that all the church is good for, is turning people around? And then I thought to myself, well, that is what the church is supposed to be about. They're supposed to be about turning people around. And out of that was birthed the phrase, helping families navigate life. And so I've kind of expanded a little bit and saying helping you navigate life. Because I believe that the Bible teaches us how to navigate life. That some topics it speaks very, very clearly on. Other ones, it gives us principles in order to be able to try to help us navigate life. And so that's what we want to look at, is how do we navigate life for those of us who are people of faith? And so today we want to talk about something that is becoming quite a big issue in society. And I think that if you haven't heard of it, by the time I'm done talking with it, you go, oh yeah, I know about that. And what we're going to do is talk about living in a cancel culture. And what does that mean? And so let's take a look at what is a cancel culture. A cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support for or canceling public figures and companies after they've done or said something considered objectionable or offensive. And it doesn't have to be on social media, but social media is a big part of the cancel culture. And so in the last number of weeks, we've seen some of these things happen. Jessica Mulrooney, was basically accused of using privilege for her advantage and lost her job about it. And there is a number of examples of this kind of cancel culture. And why I want to talk about it is, as well, because it, even the, those issues have effect, but it's getting bigger and it's spreading even further. It's going beyond social media. It's going beyond just the effects of here and now. It's spilling over. And so let me give you a few examples of cancel culture. I've already mentioned one, but Roseanne Barr, a number of years ago, she tweeted some very inappropriate, offensive, racist things on Twitter. And so she was caught in it, and so she made these wildly inappropriate statements, and she was judged by these words, and she was, her show was canceled, which was actually number one, I think, on TV at that moment. And so her show was canceled, and that was the consequences for her actions. She did something that was inappropriate, and her show was canceled. And so where this starts to get a little bit more complicated, that one was kind of cut and dry. Where it starts to get a little bit more complicated is James Gunn. Now, James Gunn is a movie director. He directed the movies Guardians of the Galaxy and its sequels. When he was a younger man, he made some inappropriate jokes on social media. Now, he realized that he had done that, that he had made some inappropriate comments. And so what he did was he disavowed those comments and apologized without being forced for those comments. And so he made those statements, apologized for it, publicly acknowledged on a number of cases that those were inappropriate things to say. And so that was, he thought, was it. Disney fired him because it was brought to the light, though those comments were made, and even though he had publicly disassociated himself and apologized for those comments, he was still fired. Now, the end of the story is that he was actually reinstated. People said, no, you can't, you know, fire somebody for something that they've repented for or turned away from, and so he was reinstated. But there is a lot of these type of illustrations. Don Cherry is an example of that. There was recently a Washington Capitals hockey player who made some very inappropriate statements in a private chat about women. And there are all sorts of different examples that are out there of people who said some things publicly and the repercussions that happened because of it. Now, how does this affect, how is this getting bigger? Well, let me give you an example. Now, in the recent weeks, there have been a lot of riots around the world, and they have been dealing with issues like Edward Colston, who was in England, who was a well-respected individual, but was also a slave trader. And because of that, his statue was thrown into the river. Historical people are now being judged by modern standards, and they are being deemed inappropriate, and their statues being defaced. Robert Baden-Powell, who was the founder of the... Now, I also need to say this. I do not condone any of these behaviors. I'm just giving them as examples of this type of thinking in our society. Robert Baden-Powell was the founder of the Scouts movement, which still has 54 million people involved worldwide. But historically, he supported some fascists, including Adolf Hitler, during that time frame. And so people are saying that this needs to be taken down. Christopher Columbus, very famous for discovering America, but his behavior has been deemed to be very... that slaughtered indigenous peoples on his arrival, and the city of Columbus, which is named after him, is now going to be taking down his statue. George Washington, there's even talk about Washington's things being removed because he was a slave owner, and there were some other things that history has deemed to be very inappropriate, and so he is being judged by that. In our own country, John A. McDonald, Just recently in Southern Ontario, a statue of John A. Macdonald was vandalized because of his treatment of Indigenous people. And so these are examples of historical figures, because of the cancel culture, that are now being removed from history. Now, how does that affect even more? Now, I don't go on Twitter a whole lot, but I do at the radio station. I tweet some things and, basically tweet some funny jokes and a scripture verse of the day. But I often check just to see what is trending on Twitter. And what we find on Twitter is, the other day is that Christianity was trending on Twitter. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that's all about. And so I clicked on it just to find out, and found out that there is a new movement in around the world called hashtag cancel Christianity. And so the cancel movement is now extended to a movement where certain individuals, and I don't think this is serious or is going to have, but we do need to talk about it, is that they are wanting to cancel Christianity because of inappropriate things that were done by Christians throughout history. And they got a point in the sense that there were lots of things that were done that were very inappropriate. The Crusades, the Inquisitions, there were a number of things that were done by certain individuals who, it was just wildly inappropriate. And so their suggestion is that, well, we need to cancel the whole thing, which has got a number of people riled up for good reason, because it is not always nice to be painted with a brush that's not appropriate. And that's where we talk about the dangers of cancel culture, because you become guilty by association. We are a church, and because of inappropriate things done by the church, we are now considered guilty of the same crimes that were affected in history. We get into sweeping generalizations. Is that because of these inappropriate things, we get painted with the same brush as those individuals? And sometimes if you don't say something about a certain topic, your silence makes you complicit in it. And so if you don't make a public statement saying that you believe this or don't believe that somehow you are complicit in that. And so it makes for some very complicated things. And defense is considered offensive. And so if you try to defend somehow the Christian church or anything, that is deemed to be offensive, even though your intent was not to be offensive. By defending yourself, you are considered to be offensive. And so this is why cancel culture is very difficult in order to be able to navigate. And so that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about this. And again, I just want to stay, that there are many things that are wrong in our world. And I don't want to seem like I'm condoning or justifying any of these things. But I do want to talk about how we as Christians learn to navigate in the midst of this culture. And so there are a number of issues in cancel culture. How do we hold on to truth, the truth of God's word, in a culture that is sometimes not very supportive of those truths? How do we do that? How do we be bold or have no fear in a cancel culture? Because you can double guess what you're doing, what you're saying. Particularly in this COVID-19, some of saying, I'm not afraid, and others are going, well, maybe we need to be wiser in the midst of that. And so how do we be bold with our faith within this cultural environment? And how do we... I just noticed a spelling mistake. How do we us wisdom? How do we use wisdom in the midst of this culture? You know, that we need to be doing things that are wise and appropriate. We don't want to be needlessly offensive during this time frame. And actually, you know, it's funny. Because even in prepping this message, there was a fair amount of fear because I'm putting myself out there. And it's a little bit scary because anything that once it's out there, it can be judged. And so how do we be wise in the things that we say, in the things that we do? Because we don't want to be offensive, but we do want to stand up for truth. And how do we do that? So I want to take a closer look at how do we navigate faith in a cancel culture. And Jesus gives a really good piece of advice. Jesus normally does. And he gives this piece of advice. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves." Now he's saying this to his disciples as he's sending them out. And he says, "I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves." So this is a dangerous situation he is sending them into. And he says, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves." And so Jesus' advice to his disciples in an adverse culture was be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. So what does he mean by that? He says, be smart and be loving. Those are his two pieces of advice. Be smart and be loving. That God gave us wisdom, God gave us brains, and to use those in the midst of this adverse culture, because you are going to need to be smart. And on top of that, you need to be loving. And those two principles should guide you as you go out into a culture that is sometimes adverse in order to our faith. Be smart, be loving. And so how does that unfold? Let me give you three suggestions today in a cancel culture of how we can be smart and how we can be loving in the midst of that. The first one is this: be wise with your words. The things that we say are very important. Jesus and the scripture teaches quite extensively about the power of words. Listen to this from Proverbs 18:4. A person's words can be like life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. And so the Word of God teaches us that words can be life-giving to people. Now, listen to the other side of it. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting someone in the face with an axe. I think that's blunt Word of God there. Wounding them with a sword or shooting them with a sharp arrow. You know, so if you're saying lies or inappropriate things about somebody, it's like an axe, a sword, or an arrow. And so you can see that the power of words to encourage and refresh, and the power of words to harm and destroy. A couple others. James wrote about the tongue and the influence of words. And he says, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And so James is saying that the tongue has the potential to do wonderful things for God, and it has the horrible side that it is full of evil and poison and can really hurt people and actually can bring curses to people. And so James writes that this shouldn't be. It shouldn't have that duality about it, that it should be used for the positive things and not for the evil things. And then Jesus himself said this in Matthew 12, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Every word that we say in our whole lives, according to Jesus, you will have to give account for. Oh, wow. Every single word. And I think about that, and you know, as we put more sermons online, that all my words are there sitting out for other people to listen to. And we will be held accountable for every single word. Every single day when I go on the radio, I am accountable for the words that come out of my mouth. That's a staggering thought for someone like myself who basically speaks for a living. I speak at church. I speak on radio. I'm speaking all the time. That I am accountable for those words that come out of my mouth. And each one of us is accountable for the words that we say. And not only are we accountable for the words that we say, we are accountable for the words that we write and we post on social media. We are accountable for every single word that comes from us, whether it be spoken or written. And so the key when we talk about words is that we have to cultivate the habit of not saying stupid and ugly things in general. We have to be very cautious, particularly in the environment that we find ourselves within. We have to be very careful in the way that we say things, because if we say things that are considered stupid or ugly towards other people, Bible tells us we're accountable for those things, but it will also have a wide and sweeping impact. And so we have to be very careful. Jesus told us in Matthew 5 that we need to love our enemies. And so, and this applies to the words that come out of our mouth, that those words that we have towards people need to be, even if they are adverse or against us, that we need to speak words that are loving towards people. And so we have to be very careful with the things that come out of our mouth or that we write down. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And so in this passage of Scripture, the first thing it says that watch your words, that they are not foul or abusive or abrasive towards other people. And so we have to watch that the things that would come out of us are not those things that will harm other people. But it goes on and it says, what are the guidelines then of the words that we say? Paul says they need to be good. They need to be helpful, and they need to be an encouragement to people. And so those things that we say should be good, helpful, and encouraging. And the opposite side of that is that they're not supposed to be foul or abusive.
Because Jesus tells us in Luke 6:45 that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this really is, the words that we say is a heart issue. If the words that are coming out of our mouths are abusive and hurtful, Jesus says that's a heart issue because your mouth is just expressing the things that are in our hearts. And Jesus says our hearts should be reflected in the words that we say. And so if our hearts are full of the encouragement of Christ, if our hearts are full of good and helpful thoughts, then it's going to come out of our mouths. So the key is that we have to beware of the words that come out of our mouth, particularly in this day and age. We also need to beware of malice. Now, malice is defined as desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another individual. And the Bible warns us, Paul says that malice is like leaven or yeast. And I'm not much of a baker, but I do know that one of the purposes of yeast is that it will get into the whole dough in order to be able that your bread will rise. And so when Paul is saying malice is like leaven, is that once you start to think inappropriately about other people, it starts to get into everything. And so Paul says, warns us about the leaven of malice. And this is what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And so all of those things can come out of our mouths. Anger, slander is putting people down, malice is the intent of hurting other people with the things that we say. And so the Apostle Paul warns us to beware of malice. And he says that we need to rid ourselves of that type of behavior. Paul is very clear, rid yourself of it. And so we need to watch that we don't jump on the anger and malice bandwagon. And let me tell you, this is very hard to do when society is not going in a direction that you feel is appropriate. It is very difficult not to jump on an anger, malice bandwagon. But the scripture tells us that we need to rid ourselves of anger and malice. And so we can't jump on the bandwagon because it's so easy on social media in order to be able to jump on an anger, malice bandwagon. It is. I've had a number of times where I've had to watch because I typed something out and I'm just about to hit send. And I think to myself, what is going to be the outcome of this statement if I put it on social media? And so, backspace out of that. But many of us in anger have posted things on social media, or we've read somebody else's angry statement, and it takes two clicks to like that post and share that post. And we have to be very careful to not, in our behavior online, jump on the anger and malice bandwagon. Because the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to rid ourselves of malice. And Jesus also taught, he says, well, what do you do with people who persecute you? He says, you need to pray for those people. You need to bless those people. So instead of liking and sharing, we need to be praying for those. I've really been trying. I'm not always good at it, but if I see something negative on Facebook towards somebody, instead of engaging in that, I pray for that individual. So whether it be a politician, if somebody posts something negative about a politician, I pray for that politician. Doesn't matter which side of the political agenda they're on. I don't care. I'm going to pray for that individual. And then I've already just mentioned this. This is that we also need to bless people. Instead of jumping on the anger and malice bandwagon, jump on the blessing bandwagon. It's more positive. The jumping on the blessing bandwagon, because that's what Scripture encourages. It says, bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who come against you and persecute you, and then bless them, encourage them, you know, do good things for them. That's what you need to do. And so how do we navigate in this world that we're in that's so crazy and negative? Learn to pray for people and learn to bless people. And that's how we begin to navigate. Don't jump on the anger malice bandwagon. Jump on the pray and bless bandwagon. And the last principle is that we need to believe in redemption. We need to believe in redemption. I am so grateful that the things that I said and have done have not been recorded. Oh, I am so pleased that when I was a much younger man in high school, that there were some things that I said, things that I laughed at, that were not appropriate at all. And you know what? There are many things, as I reflect on things I said and things that I did and jokes that I embraced, that I was so wrong. And I am so sorry. I am so sorry that there were certain cultures and people that I made fun of. And I am so sorry for that behavior. And I'm so blessed and fortunate that none of those things are recorded. At least I hope not. And so we have to believe in redemption. There are consequences. You know, sometimes there are things that we said and did that were inappropriate, and there are consequences for those actions. You know, and we have to take ownership for those things, and we need to say sorry for those inappropriate things that we said and did. And so there are consequences to those actions. But your nature is not unchangeable. The fact that many of us said these inappropriate things and did these inappropriate things, that is not who we are. I hope and I pray that you have become more like Christ in your attitudes and you are reflecting them in your behaviors. And so those things that we did in the past, some out of ignorance, some out of inappropriate thoughts and ideas, that we have apologized for those things and we have gone on a path of changing to being better. Scripture is full of people who messed up. And I am so glad that those mess ups are not what defined them. You know, David had an adulterous relationship, but that's not what defined him. Peter denied Christ, but that wasn't what defined him. Paul persecuted and killed Christians, but that wasn't what defined him. Noah was a drunk. You know, Moses killed a man. All of these things were inappropriate and they were wrong, but they were not what defined them. They changed and they became something better. And the Bible teaches us to believe in redemption, that people can change. Because your past is not what defines you. You can become something better. And that we believe that in Christ, Christ is moving us each day to be better. I don't have to be content to live in the past. Christ is moving me towards something greater and something better. And so we need to begin to see with eyes of grace. We need to be quick to love people. Because, you know what, we all messed up at some point or another, and God extended grace and forgiveness to us, and so we need to be quick to love. We need to be quick to forgive people when they mess up. Because the Bible tells us that we need to forgive as Christ forgave us. And so we have a long list of sins that were inappropriate, and Christ forgave us. And so we need to forgive other people. In the Lord's Prayer, let us forgive our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. We need to be quick to forgive. And we need to always be learning and growing. Just because I've had something bad that I did or said in the past, that doesn't need to define me. I can grow and learn and be a better person. And so as we navigate life, as we go through some of these difficult cultural things, let's believe that God can change people. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to stay in inappropriate thinking. God can transform and change us to be more into His image. And what does God, the Word of God tell us? God is love. And so we can become more loving and caring and gentle and blessing and praying for people. We don't have to be filled with malice and rage and angry words. Christ wants to transform and change us. And so as we navigate life and navigate through these difficult cultural trends, we need to be wise with our words. Watch the things that we say and we post. Beware of malice. And do not let malice grow in your life. The Bible says we need to rid ourselves of it and believe in redemption. That God can change people and we can be better. And so as we go through this life, Jesus is our waymaker. He is going to make a way for us in the most difficult and adverse circumstances. As Jesus said, I'm going to send you out into these adverse conditions like sheep among the wolves. But these two things I want you to do. I want you to be smart and I want you to be loving. Be smart and be loving. And Jesus is going to go before us. And He is going to make a way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the fact that even in the craziest of cultural changes, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, You desire that even in these strange cultural trends that are out there, that You are able to help us navigate life. By the Spirit of God living and working through us, You help us in order to live each day following Your example. Help us to be wise with our words. Help us to rid ourselves from malice and to be able to believe in the grace of God can transform and change our lives. God, help us to be able to conform more to Your image each day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together, Waymaker.
I worship You.
I am so thankful that Jesus is our waymaker. And as we try to navigate the complexities of this life, that Jesus goes with us and he prepares a way, even through the hardest and most complicated times. And so as Jesus commanded us, let's be smart and let's be loving, particularly with the words that we say. Well, God bless you as you go through your week. And if you want to join in the conversation, we're just going to take a couple minutes to be able to talk a little bit about some of the things that we talked about. And so you can say your goodbyes and also just join in the conversation. Be watching on Facebook and on the Daily Encouragement to find out about different things. The first thing is prayer meeting, which is going to be Monday night, 7 o'clock. And if you're interested in being a part of that, please let me know either by Facebook or email or by phone. And just let me know so that we can be prepared for that. God bless you. Have a great week.